I'm going to talk you through the main strategic initiatives, the main things that this year is all about for us as Trinity Methodist Church. You will know that this a great commitment to the Great Commission, and we will read the Great Commission just now as our reading. That was in 2022, our theme for the year, and we feel that we have made some progress in being a congregation that is committed to evangelism and discipleship. We have made some progress, but we haven't reached what one would call a majority yet. There's still a small part of the congregation that is committed to sharing the faith, committed to bringing friends to church, bringing family to church, bringing colleagues, work colleagues to church, or to other church events. It's as Mfundisi likes to say, it's still a small nyanya. Ah, come on, John. Nyanya. Part of the congregation. And we need to, for it to become a majority. So we making this still our goal for 2023. And within that, we are committed, ongoing commitment to renewal, revival, a turning to Jesus, a returning to Jesus. And the good news in terms of 2022 was that 116 people came to faith through the ministries of Trinity Methodist Church, 116. So we've made some progress, but we need to do more. Home groups or classes, the small group gatherings of Trinity are an important part of this year's goal. This is something that wasn't part of 2022, and we're making it an important part of 2023. And I want to talk very quickly about how we are seeing this. A sailing boat has this big sail at the front. It's called the spinnaker sail. And it's the sail the yacht uses when it is going in the same direction as the wind. Because sometimes you want to go this way and the wind is coming this way, then you don't use the spinnaker sail. But when you want to go that way and the wind is going that way, you use the spinnaker sail. It's a very big and beautiful sail. So what we are saying is that the size of the sail, we want to grow the size of the sail. So the wind of the Spirit is blowing. And if we have lots of people in small groups, classes for example, then we have lots of people who are being moved by the Spirit. So we are saying, who is not in a class? They need to get into a class. So we need to grow the number of people who are in small groups in the life of Trinity. Grow the number of people, and if we need more classes, we will start more classes. Okay? So that helps us to have a big sail. But you will see there are three ropes that hold the sail, and each of those have a meaning for us. Discipleship. Classes need to be a place in which people are grown as disciples of Jesus. Care. Classes need to be places in which people are cared for. And Trinity involvement. Classes need to be places in which the person in the class knows what's going on in the life of Trinity and is getting involved. They're also praying for everything that happens in the life of Trinity. Remember, we are one church, Trinity Methodist Church. Yes, we meet at different times, but what happens during the week is for the benefit of all of our worship services, all of the members of Trinity, and it needs to be all of the members of Trinity that help make things work. It can't just be the 9:30 service that does all the work. It needs to be all of the people of Trinity. And so that's why Trinity involvement is so important. And then this is what I'll be preaching on just now, is around our belief that we are called to be part of a renewal movement in the life of the church. We also have a way in which we are going to be better organized this year and more missional, and we are building that into our church structure. We are bringing on board somebody who can help us with digital and marketing. That then frees Brett up from some of his role in terms of digital and marketing. He will then play a more managerial role in the office. That will free me from some of my managerial role, and I will then be able to involve us with a renewal movement, partnering with other churches, and I'll share the heartbeat of that. I want you to already now in your diaries, in your minds, make a note of the 17th and the 18th of June. It is a long weekend. Don't go away for the long weekend. Be here. On the Saturday, we are having a whole day Holy Spirit Day, so that you may experience the Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. On the Sunday, all of the services will be focusing on the experience of the Holy Spirit. That's an important part of us being a congregation in renewal and revival this year. One last thing to say about this year is that, I think as you know already, we are following what's called the lectionary in our readings on our Sundays. The readings we will read on Sunday and the sermon will be focused on, we're encouraging you to read them in the week before. And so this small pamphlet actually tells you the readings for the whole year. The whole year. And you in your devotions at home can read these each day of the week. There are four readings each week. One is a gospel, one is an Old Testament, one is a psalm, one is an epistle. And you take one per day. We will tell you what they are. And so this is a very special way to prepare for each Sunday and also to experience God in your personal life as we journey through the most important passages of Scripture in the Bible. So if you don't have one of these flyers, I want to make sure I give you one today, and then you will be able to be part of that special part of the journey this year.
Siyabonga ke isifundo sanamhlanje, Evangeli, Matthew, chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, mali phakameke ibandla. From verse 16, kuyolandela ke undiyakholwa kuThixo isenamandla onke. Kepha abafundi abayishumi nanye baya eGalili kuleyo ntaba uJesu ayebalayele yona. Sebembona bakhuleka kuye, kepha abanye bangabaza. UJesu wasondela wakhuluma kubo wathi, ngiphiwe amandla onke ezulwini nasemhlabeni. Ngalokho hambani nenze izizwe zonke abafundi, nibababhathize egameni likaYise neleNdodana nelikaMoya oNgcwele. Nibafundise ugcina konke enginiyale ngakho. Bekani mina nginani izinsuku zonke kuze kube sekupheleni kwezwe. Ilizwi lenkosi leli mayilisikelele inkosi kusukela manje kuze kube phakade. Amen.
So, as I said earlier, Vision Sundays spread over two Sundays. And it was very exciting last Sunday to look out at a congregation, and I think it applies here also. It does apply here also. There are some people who, for whom this is your first Vision Sunday sermon, your first Vision Sunday service. You weren't here last year for Vision Sunday. And that means that during 2022 or early in 2023, you have come to be part of this faith community. Somehow, what we have done has reached you, has touched you, and has brought you to say, this is my faith home. And so, God has used us in your life, and you are probably one of the 116 people who have come to faith through the ministry of Trinity Methodist Church. And I mean, that's just such incredible good news that we are growing and that we are being used by God to be involved in people's lives. That is such good news. And we are so grateful to God for that. A Vision Sunday sermon, as I think about 2023 now, a Vision Sunday sermon, a vision that the church has, is made up of a few parts. The one is, what is God's call on us as church? And we then want to think about how can we be true to God's call. The other is to have a look around us, what's going on around us, and how can we respond to that. So it's both God's call and also our desire to be faithful to God as we look at the challenges around us. Now, when we look at the challenges, we do not only think about challenges that Christians are facing. We do not only think about challenges that the church is facing. We think about challenges that we as a people of Johannesburg and we as a people of South Africa are facing. Because we know that God has called us to be agents in the world. We are here to serve God's mission in the world. And so we're asking, how can we serve God's mission in the world? What is it that the world needs? That's part of what we're asking. And that's very important because the next part of my message will be to think a little bit about the challenges that we are facing. Our city is, of course, looking terrible. There are a number of parts of the city where the water just flows out of the ground, out of the pipes in the ground, and just flows into the street. And that is a precious resource. And sometimes it takes hours or days even before the city does something about it. And when they do, they dig a big hole and they fix the pipe in the hole. But then they leave the hole and the hole becomes another problem itself. And sometimes it can take forever to fix the hole. And if they fix the hole, they often don't do it properly. They don't put the tar over. They just put the rubble back, and then that hole grows again when it rains. And so one can go on about the way in which, when we look around us, we see that the city is suffering from neglect. And we also notice, or what we are seeing, what we really are seeing, is that the city has run out of money to fix the problem. Now, when we look at the country, you see the same problems, but the impact it has on us is more difficult. Because when you look at our schools, when you look at our hospitals, when you look at police services, when you look at Eskom, one sees negligence, carelessness, people not doing their jobs, and one sees that the country has run out of money. There's no more money to fix the problems. And so we are in a terrible state. For us as Trinity, the state of the economy has hit us hard. We are looking at a shortfall, a deficit, running out of money to nearly 1.3 million this year. We may run out of money as Trinity. The most ever in the history of this church. And so it's a very challenging year that we face. But what's interesting about the way in which we're facing this challenge is this, and this is very important to hear. The way in which we're facing this challenge is not to say, let's cut back and just maintain. Let's cut staff, let's cut programs, let's cut away things just so that we can do the minimum, the maintenance. No. Rather, we are saying we want to grow. We want to do more rather than less. But the important thing to realize is that if our plans don't succeed in doing more, in reaching more people, then come 2024, we will have to start cutting back. We will have to then do the minimum. We will have to then withdraw from our desire to do more. And so 2023 is an important year for us. It's what we call a make or break year. We're either going to make it this year as we go into the future, or we're going to be broken by this year. And so as I look to you as Trinity people, I'm saying, please take seriously everything we are trying to do. Please play your part. Do the things that are needed to be done so that we can grow. Please be part of the vision of this year. This is a photograph of myself with Father Albert Nolan. Father Albert Nolan passed away in October 2022 when he was 88 years old. Father Albert Nolan was a Roman Catholic priest and an author of many important books here in South Africa. Those books were so powerful that they have traveled the world and been translated into many languages throughout the world. We have some of his books in our library. He was a very important leader in the struggle against apartheid. And one of the things he did, oh, by the way, why is there a photo of me with him, is he was a big supporter of me in the writing of my book. And he wrote a foreword for my book. And so after I published my book in 2019, I went to give him a copy of the book and to meet with him. And we spent a precious hour together, and this photograph is from then. But one of the things Father Albert Nolan did was he was part of the movement that produced the Kairos document. Now, I'm not sure how many of you know or remember the Kairos document. It was 1985. And the Kairos document was a document that he was part of writing, but it was a collaborative document that many people were involved with, and he was a key organizer in that. And the Kairos document became the document that in the 1980s spoke about what the church needed to do in the struggle against apartheid. It was a very important document. It gave energy to the church, and it gave focus and clear thinking to the church about what was going on and what was the right way for the church to relate to the struggle, to relate to the state, and so on. Now, when Father Albert Nolan passed away last year, the service was broadcast online, and you can still actually go and watch the service on YouTube. I was part of the service, not at the event, but watched it online. And there were a number of speakers who spoke, who had been involved with him during the struggle and the writing of the Kairos document. Some of them, like Frank Chikane, spoke, and Nomvulo Mokonyane spoke, and so on. They had been involved with him. All of these speakers, all of them, said that what South Africa needs, what the church needs, is a new Kairos document that will speak about where we are and what is the role of the church. All of them said that. But I want to say that I do not think they are right now. What the church needs is not another document. Because, by the way, the documents already exist. If you look at what has been produced by our own denomination and expressed through our presiding bishop, Bishop Purity Malinga, there are good documents, brave documents, that say this is where we are at as a country and this is what the church needs to do. The South African Council of Churches has also produced documents. The Catholic Bishops' Conference, the Anglican Bishops. The documents exist, but they haven't made a difference. Another document, another statement is not what's needed. What's needed now is for Christians to unite and to stand together in bringing about renewal in South Africa, bringing about revival. What we need to do as Christians is remind other Christians about the teachings of Jesus, which are called the Kingdom of God teachings. And in the Kingdom of God teachings of Jesus, he shares a vision of how we must live. And if all Christians live according to that vision, then we would not have the problems we have as a country. Unfortunately, many of our leaders are Christian leaders, yet they are causing the problems we are in. They think they are fine, that Jesus has forgiven their sins and they're going to go to heaven and it's all okay. We need to say to those Christians, you are not fine. Your soul is not fine. Because what Jesus taught was the Kingdom of God. And it is only in the Kingdom of God that we have hope. And if you are neglecting the Kingdom of God, you are not fine. from God's perspective. We need a movement that will stand for the kingdom of God. We need a movement of people who says, being a Christian isn't just about going to heaven, but it's about how we live here. It's about the role we play here. And every Christian needs to be a kingdom person, whether they are unemployed or whether they are employed as a policeman, a nurse, a teacher, a city manager, a politician, a minister, etc. Every Christian needs to serve the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus spent so much energy and time teaching the kingdom. What we need is a kingdom of God movement in South Africa. And so it is that in our strategy for this year, we are saying as Trinity Methodist Church that the problems in our city and our country are too big and too serious for us to just be thinking about Trinity Methodist Church. We need to be part of a movement, a Kingdom of God movement. We need to partner, work with other churches for what I have just described about this need for a movement, a Kingdom of God movement. We cannot only think about our own goals for us as a church. We have to now be looking for people to take hands with, other churches, other ministers, other priests, other pastors, other organizations. We need to start a movement. We need to be part of a movement. We need to say to other churches who just teach that being a Christian is about going to heaven and having your sins forgiven, we need to say to them, no, there's more to the teachings of Jesus, and you need to be teaching those teachings. Because otherwise, Christians will do no good in this world. There is too much at stake. The issues of our country are too serious for us to only be thinking about ourselves as Trinity Methodist Church. We have to be partnering with others. And that is so important. So, so important. And that is going to be part of what we are doing as a congregation this year, starting this year, particularly for myself, but it will affect all staff, and Reverend Mambaso is going to be an important part of this as well, partnering with others to be part of a Kingdom of God movement, or what I call also a Kingdom Consciousness movement. A great commitment to the Great Commission involves this. In the Great Commission, and I know it was read earlier, but I want you to hear these words again. This is the Great Commission. Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go. Note the word go. He's saying, get into the world. Go. And make disciples of all nations. Making disciples. In other words, making kingdom people. Because that's what a disciple is. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Jesus is saying, your message is to get people to obey the things I have commanded. Obey the things I have commanded. And I am with you always to the end of the age. Too many churches are caught up with the saying, it's about believing in Jesus. Well, what does Jesus stand for? You have to go to his teachings. Too many churches are ignoring his teachings and saying it's just about believing in Jesus and then your sins are forgiven and you go to heaven. Well, by the way, who is this Jesus? You see it in his teachings. If you don't go to his teachings, then it could be any Jesus. And if you watch the World Cup, you will see there are many soccer players with the name Jesus from South America. Teach the teachings of Jesus. By the way, this is the Methodist way, what I'm talking now. John Wesley wondered, what does it mean to be a Methodist? Why has God brought Methodists into this world? John Wesley asked that question, and he was asked that question, and this was his answer. He asked, what may we reasonably believe to be God's design, God's plan, in raising up the preachers called Methodists. A, he had other things to say, but the first thing he said was this: to reform the nation, in particular the church, to spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. You might have been wondering in the service, why is John talking about the city and the state of the city? You might have been wondering, why is John talking about the country and the state of the country? Isn't that something for the politician to talk about, not for the minister to talk about? But no. Why are we Methodists called by God to reform the nation, to make the nation right, to call the nation to order, and to call the Christians who are in leadership in the city and the state to say, hey, by the way, to do it the Christian way means this, not the way you're doing it. To reform the nation. To spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. Which means to live the teachings of Jesus. That's what scriptural holiness is. This is the Great Commission. The same thing Jesus was saying. It's just John Wesley's words for the Great Commission. They mean the same thing. And so I want to close with this picture that holds it all together. I'll show you the picture, but it's not so easy to see. But I'll tell you the story of this picture. So John Wesley was leading the renewal, the revival movement in England. And he was invited to preach at St. Andrew's Anglican Church in Epworth. Now, St. Andrew's Anglican Church was an important church within his family history because his father had been a priest at that church. And his father was, in fact, buried in the cemetery, the graveyard of that church. And so John Wesley, I'm sure, looked forward to preaching at the church that his father had preached in. And so he went on that Sunday to preach. But then John Wesley discovered a thing. Bad news. The priest who'd invited him said, actually, my bishop has said you can't preach today. You're not allowed to come in and preach. Many of the bishops then did not like the way in which John Wesley was calling the church to renewal and revival. They didn't like the way John Wesley was calling the nation to order. They didn't like the way he was spreading scriptural holiness throughout the land. They didn't want to be challenged. And so the bishop stood against John Wesley. John Wesley said, it doesn't matter. I won't come and force my way into the church. And so he walked around the church. He walked to the graveyard. And he went and stood on his father's tombstone. He said, you can't take me away from my father's tombstone. I can stand here. You can't. No bishop can tell me I can't stand on my father's tombstone. And he preached. And that congregation gathered around him. That's the picture of him preaching from his father's tombstone. And his sermon was summed up with this phrase. It's a well-known Wesleyan phrase. The world is my parish. In other words, the world is my congregation. In other words, the world is my responsibility. It's fine if you kick me out the church. The world is my congregation. The world is my responsibility. I'm here to serve the world. That's what we are here for. And in a way that we're going further, Trinity Methodist Church is going further than we've ever gone before in 2023 to serve the world. Because we want to be part of a kingdom of God movement. We want to join hands with other churches and other ministers and other priests and other pastors. We want to awaken other churches and other priests and other pastors and other ministers. Because God has a mission to the world. And we, as Trinity Methodist Church, want to serve that mission. Do you want to serve that mission? If you do, this is a good place to be for 2023. Amen.